Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show. My name is Jason Dias, and we're broadcasting live from New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a short trip on the space shuttle, but a rather long walk up to Charleston, South Carolina. We are joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Troy Hall. He's a COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union, keeping life simplified. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Hey, I am doing great, and this is a very special day because today is Cal Appreciation Day.
Very nice, very nice.
Did you like
very
that?
Very nice, Cal Appreciation Day. So what are you supposed to do on Cal Appreciation Day?
Well, you know, actually, and this is a lesson for our marketing folks out there, a little bit of a preview before we speak with our first guest, but it's what Chick-fil-A has done to actually continue to promote their brand and to promote their emphasis and all of their direction toward their product is, you know, they talked about where the cow dresses up and says, you know, you want to eat more chicken. And so they've really just taken their entire approach and just simply went off again and said, hey, by the way, you should be appreciating cows, eat more chicken. And right. And so you dress up like a cow and go into Chick-fil-A, and then you get a free sandwich. But one of the interesting things about it, although, you know, the whole idea, the concept is, you know, eating animals, slaughtering animals, all that kind of hoopla that goes along around it, the really bottom line is it is better for us as from an environment to actually eat less meat, because of the amount of emissions that are actually produced for the slaughtering of beef in order to make it available. It says something like 4.5 million more cars are on the roads, emitting into the to the atmosphere what they do to produce beef in this country for a whole year.
So wow,
pretty interesting stuff. But the bottom line is, from a marketing perspective, it is, they created their own day. So credit unions could actually take their brand and create their own branding day and make that an event that they then tie into their brand experience, and just really go with it. So, you know, I'm thinking we've got to come up with a Life Simplified Day here, you know, like Happy Life Simplified Day.
I like it. I like it very much. And you can give out things that help simplify your life. There's always been a lot of talk about a national credit union branding campaign. I know there's an international credit union day, but is there not like a regular credit union day somewhere on the calendar in October?
No, I think the only thing we do is, well, I know there's like a kids week thing we do in April.
And
I'm pretty sure that it's all tied to that whole International Credit Union Week that we participate in, but I believe it is all international. I don't think it is specifically here. But, you know, I've talked about this before, and I know that some of my credit union folks are going to hate me when I say it, but it is Tough Talking Troy time, and that is we probably will not get to a national brand because we do not think big enough in credit unions. We still hamper our thought processes. We always have what I call that card table mentality that says, I can do it better myself. That you go to the craft table and you see stuff in the craft and you go, oh, that's really cute, but I can do that better myself. So what happens is we never get the opportunity to come to brand together because we've got people saying, well, I can do my brand myself. My members would only want to see they want to make sure that my colors and my name is all attached to it. And meanwhile, Got Milk, the other white meat, those
right.
have been fantastic programs, and they're done by cooperatives. So it's not like this is a group of independent, non-connected. These are cooperative people who have said, yes, cooperative marketers, let's charge you with the responsibility to do this, and we'll pay our fair share to get our message out nationally. We don't do that. And so it's unfortunate, but something has got to change, and it has to be mentality, or we will never have a national brand.
Well, I would agree with you. I'm going out on Monday to Beaumont, Texas, to meet with the good folks out at Do Good Federal Credit Union, kind of a strategic planning, especially when it comes to marketing to young people. And a big part of the conversation is going to be about how I think you have to expect what you just said to be the case, that you're not going to see a great deal of collectivism in the credit union marketplace, because it really hasn't. If it was going to happen, it would have happened already. And when credit unions had their golden opportunity back in 2009, when banks were taking it on the chin and really didn't do anything, I think each individual credit union is going to have to come up with their own thing. That's why I love the idea of a Life Simplified Day just for South Carolina Federal Credit Union. And speaking of young people, you found out some very interesting information about this young generation we're calling the millennials, did you not?
Yes, I did. I found out that this particular group is, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay, I get this correct. So this is according to Don Tapscott, who is a writer and a speaker and a business consultant, and his latest book is called Grown Up Digital, How the Net, N-E-T, Generation is Changing Your World. And what he actually says is that millennials are the smartest generation ever.
Wow. Well, I got to say, there's a part of me as a Gen Xer who would love to say, no, we're the smartest, but of course, that's just me being me. But I would agree with them. If we're gonna say smart in the context of the ability to know things that I had absolutely, like I told you, true story, it was the last person who offered to develop an app for Eloquent Online was a fifth grader. Came up to me in the hallway. And it is, you know, we talk all, the internet generation, the net generation, it is absolutely true. And you mentioned it a couple weeks ago on the show that for the first time in American history, the youngest generation is certainly more technically savvy than the oldest generation, and maybe even more so than their parents. And so we're going to talk to one of those smart millennials right after the break, and we'll do it right after this. All systems go here today on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. My name is Jason Dias. We're broadcasting live. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, where the talk is hot and the hosts are
hotter,
much, much hotter. We are now pleased to be joined on this show by the aforementioned millennial generation. Representing the millennials is young Ashley. Since she is a minor, we're going to refer to her only by her first name. And talking about smart choice, she was actually the salutatorian of her eighth grade class. Hey, Mark. Hey, Ashley, how are you doing? It is great, great, great to have you on the show. So what do you think when you hear that you're a member of the smartest generation in American history?
I never would have guessed that.
Is that
I mean,
Well, why is that? Is that because you know too many of your friends? Now, don't judge all your whole generation by your friends. I know a lot of your friends, too.
Oh, yeah. That's maybe a little part of it, but it just seems that people are, no offense to anyone, but people are getting stupider. I don't know. I just never would have guessed that. It's kind of cool, actually. I feel proud.
Yes,
well,
you should.
So, well, speaking of your generation, just for our audience's sake, you are going into ninth grade next year, so you're starting high school. And how old does that make you these days?
I am 13 right now. I will be 14 in September.
Okay, so you'll be a 14-year-old. I believe that you represent the freshman class going into high school this year is actually the first high school class of the millennial generation, replacing Generation Y. And one of the things I was interested in doing the research about the show and getting you on the air is that when you graduated in May, you had not made a decision about where you were going to go to high school. And now I know you've made the decision to go to the New Braunfels Christian Academy. And I thought that was unique because, Ashley, from the day I was in kindergarten, I knew exactly what high school I was going to. We'd drive by on my way to St. Monica's Catholic School, and my mom would go, "Oh, that's where you're going to go to high school, right there at Judson High School in Converse, Texas." I think your generation has a lot of choices that maybe, and I'm not saying it in a bad way, but what led you to the decision to pick the New Braunfels Christian Academy?
Well, I already knew a few people that were going to be there and a few people who had already graduated from there, so that made me a little more comfortable. I liked the fact that it was a Christian environment,
right.
So I knew there wouldn't be a whole lot of bad stuff, but you can never really avoid that.
Right.
And
yeah.
I really didn't want to go to New Braunfels Public School.
Right. Troy?
I find it interesting, you know, like when you first of all were surprised about being, that you're a smart generation. So what is it that you see out there that doesn't support that?
I don't know, just people making dumb decisions.
Well, that's teenagers,
like
actually. That's not just.
I mean, do you mean like, you know, well, I mean, the question I'm asking is that do you think it's because of, like, their choices in areas of finances, or is it their choices in social aspects and relationships? Where do you think those dumb choices are coming?
I think mostly in relationships, and they get too hooked on someone. And
yeah, so, yeah, and I get that because, you know, I think that in all those generation groups, you're going to have those whole relational challenges. But I think that the area where I think you're smarter in to think about it is how quickly you catch on to things and how much you get involved. As a matter of fact, the article, the one thing that I was really impressed by what this particular gentleman was talking about, he said that that the IQ level across the country is up. He said in the last 15 years there have been less people who have dropped out of school. He said that in some additional things that there is more civic action taking place, as well as political action, as well as volunteering. So that, I think, is the level of smartness that we're looking at, and I think that's how he's kind of qualified it, as opposed to it just being relational. So what do you think about that? Do you agree with some of those thoughts?
I would. I think that's a really interesting idea, I guess. I'd never heard that before.
Yeah, you're an open-minded person, though, right?
And you're young, so you probably aren't. I mean, when I was 13, believe me, Ashley, the last thing I was thinking about was demographics. I was thinking about how can I sneak out of the house? How can I get the keys to my parents' car? How can I buy a motorcycle when I'm not old enough to ride one? But I am fascinated by when you talk about relationships, and I wanted to do some social anthropology today. I would have thought, and this is interesting that you said that, I would have thought that with all the Facebook and all the texting and all, when Troy and I were kids, and Troy's a little bit older than I am, I'm 43, the only way you kept in touch with your relationships, whether it was a friendly relationship or your quote-unquote girlfriend or boyfriend, it was a telephone and maybe a letter. And now with all the Facebook stuff, I would have thought all that social media would have made relationships easier, especially on teenagers. Do you think it's made them more difficult?
Not more difficult. It probably did make it easier, but just being too attached to someone.
Right.
I mean, even through all of the communication and things, it's
right.
just getting too attached to someone. And then, you know, dropping out of high school or...
just making bad decisions, basically.
Yeah, just getting too attached.
Yeah,
well,
you know, the problem is you can never regulate people's stupidity. So, you know, that kind of stuff is going to happen. I mean, it's really out there. But look for those things that I mentioned to you, because I'd be interested to see if you see it differently now once you
mm-hmm.
become aware. You know, once you kind of move yourself out of the realm of what you don't know into what you know and you start seeing it, you'll start to identify it. It's like when you buy that car for the first time and you think you're driving the only white car in the whole world, and you go down the street and you notice every white car and you're going, "What happened? I could have swore I was the only person driving a white car." And you just become more aware of it. So I'm interested to see what it's going to be like in a couple of months now that we've had this conversation with you, how this affects you.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting.
Well, let me ask you, Ashley. Let me ask you, Ashley. You're starting high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling you when I first decided I wanted to have you on the program, we went to the graduation when you graduated from eighth grade, and my wife and I were both just super impressed with your commencement speech. You were the salutatorian, and I thought you combined a lot of humor, and what I thought was unusual for a young lady, you seemed to use a lot of sentiment, like you were thinking about the context of your life at this point and what your life would be like going forward. Now, granted, you're only 13. Have you thought about maybe what kind of career you might be pursuing 8-10 years from now?
Yeah, I've always loved sports, more so in the past couple of years. So I'm kind of looking to see if I can get a job in maybe sports journalism or sports photography, something along those lines.
Yes, that is great. And you know what I really love is the fact that you have an idea about what you want to do. So I'm going to offer you a little piece of advice. If you, now that you've made up your mind what you want to do, and people will sometimes tell you, oh, well, you've got to try a lot of different things to see what you like. The reality is that you're closer to making a decision than most of those other folks, so that advice may not work for you. But now that you have decided that's what you want to do, learn everything you can about it. Do interning for free at companies that will allow you to do what you want to do for your job. I mean, don't worry about taking that summer job so you can buy that extra dress or those pair of shoes or go to the movies whenever you want and think about your freedom. Because if you're going to live up to being smarter, then what you're going to do is you're going to say, you know, I'm going to gain my experience as well as my education, and I'm going to manage both of those at the same time. If not, you will find yourself where most people find themselves when they graduate from college, and that is they are in a catch-22. They need to have experience, don't have any. Need to have a degree, got a degree, but you don't have any experience. So what do? You end up waiting tables or you end up selling cosmetics. I mean, you know, come on.
Okay.
So, Ashley, you're getting a little career advice here on the Radio Free Credit Union. Say, hey, listen, Ashley, we're going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I want to ask you some questions, kind of what your thoughts and impressions are on finances and banks and credit unions and stuff like that. So we'll do that right after this.
You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live and talk, 646-915-9274.
All right, we are back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. It's Friday, it's Radio Free, and we are joined by Ashley, a member of the millennial generation, and we've been talking about how smart her generation is. Ashley, I want to ask you something. Troy works for a really, really big credit union in South Carolina. Do you have any idea what a credit union is?
I know it's a bank. I don't know much beyond that.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Ashley, you're absolutely right, okay?
Yeah, so yep, you proved my theory right. So that's good. So you are smart, you know, because you've proven the theory. Now, do you know anything about the way the credit union operates in regards to the bank? I mean, do you know why you might choose a credit union versus a bank, or what makes you choose one or the other? Let's start there. What makes you choose where you bank?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, she's 13 years old. Yeah, she does. Do you have an account yet, Ashley?
Yeah.
Do you know if it's at a bank or a credit union?
It's at a credit union.
Oh, okay, well.
How did it get as a credit union? That's my question. How did it get there?
Our parents use the credit union.
Yeah, right. Okay, good.
There we go.
Ding,
all right.
Ding, 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 folks out there. Marketing folks, if you are listening, there's your ding, ding, ding moment.
Ashley, I'm going to tell you why we're asking you these questions. Troy works for a credit union. The show is called the Radio Free Credit Union Show. I do a lot of work with credit unions, and credit unions spend a lot of time trying to convince people, especially people like you, that there is a drastic difference between the credit union and the bank. And when you said a credit union is a bank, people like Troy and I, we agree with you. And so now I'm convinced that, yes, you are the smartest generation, because there's adults my age and older who haven't figured that out yet. How often do you have your own debit card? Do you have your own checkbook? Or you just kind of go there and get money out whenever you need it?
I've never actually withdrawn money from it. We use it mainly for big things, you know, maybe saving up for a car or helping a little bit with college. So I've never actually drawn anything out. I don't have a debit card. I don't use checks. I just kind of use the money that I earn.
So when you get the money that you earn, maybe from babysitting or doing chores or whatever, you take that, and so you're on a complete cash basis then, right? So you go to the store and you pull out your $20 out of your wallet or whatever and make your purchase?
I don't use the full amount that I get paid because I have to set aside some for tithe, and then I set aside for tithe, I also double and put it into my savings account. But yes, then I am able to pull that out and buy whatever I need.
Okay, awesome. Great. Awesome. Yeah.
Now, Ashley, you were on the golf team, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you missed the concert we did at Cross Lutheran, the concert for financial literacy, correct?
Yeah.
Did you hear about it?
A little bit.
Right. We think that when it comes time to talk to you or have a conversation with your generation about financial literacy, about things, that the school is a great place to start. But I also think that there's a lot of young people that gather during the summertime at places like Vacation Bible School and things like that. And, of course, the church is always a great place to learn about money management. Do you know, does your dad's church do any of that, like the Dave Ramsey classes or things like that?
We have in the past, I think maybe once or twice, but other than that, I don't know if we do.
All right. Troy?
Interesting. Yeah, I was just, so the other thing I want to ask you then is when you decide to buy something that is more than the cash you have, how do you go about that?
I save up my money.
So you just keep it under your pillow?
No, I keep it in my wallet.
In her wallet, okay.
Wallet. Okay, so I need to figure out why don't you think of putting it into the credit union and then using your account then as a place to stash your money? I mean, aren't you afraid that maybe when you're out, with your friends just walking to the mall, somebody might just take your wallet that would have all of your money in it?
No.
Okay, so, all right, well, that never crossed your mind, so all of a sudden now you're going to be...
She's not buying flat-screen TVs here. Yeah, I mean, what's the last thing you bought, Ashley? What's the last thing you actually spent your money on?
I think Walgreens.
Walgreens, the new one? The brand new one?
Yeah, there's a new Walgreens by my house.
Oh, Ashley, you just reminded me of something there. Troy, remember, we talked about the new Walgreens on the radio program.
Yes.
And I suggested that a credit union or a bank should put one of their branches at the Walgreens. Now, the Walgreens is right down the street from me, too. I could literally walk there. I could actually hit it with a golf club if I needed to from my backyard, as you know, because you know where I live, right on the county line.
Okay.
When you went to Walgreens and you had your own money, would you say that for the bigger things that you need, your parents are still pretty much doing that stuff for you, back-to-school shopping and clothing and stuff like that, correct?
Yeah, mostly. Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Well, yeah. You probably don't know this, but for being on the show today, you're actually going to make $10. And last time we had people on the show, we gave them the option of a Visa gift card, an iTunes gift card, or cash. What would your choice be?
Cash.
Troy, are you surprised?
Well, no, not based on the whole 15-minute conversation before. I may have been surprised if I hadn't had that conversation and then you ask her.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's great. Well, listen, I want to ask you one more question, and Troy will have one last question for you. Okay, you start high school next year. It's a big step. What are you most looking forward to?
Just being in high school.
Just being older.
Yeah.
I agree. And on a daily basis, how we ask this question, do you have a cell phone yet? Do you have your own mobile phone yet?
Yeah.
You do. Do you text with your friends?
Yes.
On an average day, how many texts do you think you send?
100, 150 probably.
Yep. There you go. Once again, now she's the smartest.
Oh, Ashley. I haven't
this little
that
baby
many
boomer over here isn't so
year.
Stupid either, right?
Oh, my goodness. Ashley, I haven't sent 100 text messages all summer.
He can't even count to 100,
I
let alone
count
send 100
to 100.
Text messages.
Exactly.
So there we go. Okay, so all right, so Ashley, here's what I'm going to ask you then as you get ready to do this. When do you think you will start making your decisions about college or education beyond high school?
Probably my junior and senior year. I'll be thinking about it a little before then, but
right.
not a lot.
So that'll probably be your next big trigger point. And based on your demographic situation with where your household is with your mom and dad and finances and so forth, will you need to work at all before you, when you're in high school, you get the drive, will you need to work? In other words, will that be a kind of like a requirement from your parents, or is that not a requirement?
I don't know if it's a requirement or not, but I will.
You will. Okay.
Yes.
And then when you do that, do you think that will be the next point in time when you might think, well, gosh, I just can't keep all my cash in my wallet because I'm going to have to do something else with it?
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. I'm setting you up.
I really
here, girl.
Don't
I'm just,
know.
I'm trying to help you out. I know you're 13. I'm trying to help you out.
Yeah. He's trying to give you some good old baby boomer fatherly advice. Hey, listen, Ashley, it was an absolute delight getting to know you over the past few years at Crosh. Absolutely one of my favorite folks out there at the school. And on behalf of Troy and myself, we want to wish you a ton of success as you start a high school. I want to remind you just to stay strong and stay smart. And I wish you all the best going forward. Thanks so much for joining
us. Yes,
no
Ashley,
problem.
Thank you. Thank you for being on, and thank you for mentioning tithing when you talked about your finances. I appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. We sure do.
No
All right,
problem.
Ashley, you take care. You take care. Bye.
All right.
Now.
You too. Bye.
Bye, Ashley. Bye. All right, we'll be right back after this. All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. It's a little under 3 minutes to go on the show. It's all systems go here, Radio Free. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, Jason and Troy. Troy, what were you thinking when she said a credit union is a bank?
I was thinking because realistically, by definition, when you consider that what we do is we offer accounts, we make deposits, we keep your money, although not to her since she keeps it in her wallet, You know, I mean, by all intents and purposes, it is what people think, and that's where the hang-up keeps getting to be on the name and the terminology. And what I continue to say is it is the philosophical viewpoint that actually makes us more of a credit union, and it's how we treat the people, the policies and procedures that we put in place on how we treat them is what makes them different. How will we respond to the fact that we can't charge the same price or debit card interchange that we used to be able to charge now that the Durbin Amendment is actually in force? What
right.
will we do? It's the philosophical decisions that we make that will further define us in the marketplace. It isn't the name on the outside of the building. You can't.
And yet,
you,
I get. In, yeah. so, I don't want to get in trouble with it. Country, we can disagree on these things, but there is so much time spent on bank bashing and trying to convince people that it's not a bank. Well, what do you say to somebody in that young demographic who thinks of it as a bank? And I mean, we have this conversation all the time, you and I, and with
yeah.
a minute to go, obviously we can't say everything we need to, but it's something we'll continue to say. What I always find fascinating about young people like Ashley is that obviously when we talk about marketing, the one thing I always tell people is youth marketing is really marketing to parents too. It is an equal thing. If you're doing something right, the parents will know about it and will appreciate it. And I think that's a big time takeaway from this show.
Well, it is. And not only that too, but we have data that proves that particular point, which is why the supplement to our Young and Free initiative for that group of 17 to 25-year-olds was to go after the teen market of 13 to 17, and Ashley proved it because it's the mom voice. Where
right.
do they get their accounts from? From mom.
Mom.
You can You can retire as an accountant. You can retire as a lawyer. You can retire as a machinist. You can retire as a radio host, but you never retire as a mom.
That is
and the reality is that the mom trusted voice, the voice of reason, the voice of wisdom, the voice of accountability, that voice constantly influences you throughout your entire life. And I'm saying take away the tragic, you know, times when moms, you know, don't necessarily do the right thing. I'm saying forget that. Those are anomalies. I'm saying the overall perspective is that the mom voice is what kids listen to, and they make their choices based on that.
Okay.
And listen, I listen to mom all the time, and one of the most successful things in my marriage is the fact that I listen to my wife, and I understand that whole concept.
Well, listen, we'll continue the conversation next week. Hope to get some more of the millennial folks on the air to talk about a little bit older next time, a high school student who might be thinking, a junior in high school, is going to be thinking about college and stuff like that. And we'll do it all next week on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. Hey, Troy, thank you so much. As always, have a great weekend out there in Charleston, South Carolina. And until next week, we'll talk to you soon.